Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's a real honour to be up here sharing with you the word today. The title of today's message is Walking in the Spirit, Freedom to Flourish and Live the Way God Intended for Us to Live. Brad and I were given the same scripture to speak on, so you're going to have the same scripture as last week and this week, but it dovetails into Brad's message that he gave last week. And I'm going to give you a visual summary of today's message. This is us. We are a glass. We have two natures within us. We have water, which is represented as Jesus' nature, our new nature. And we have the oil. I was going to bring in car oil, but I thought, if I spill that, I'm in trouble here. The oil represents our old nature, our contaminated nature. And the old nature within us, it has the capacity to commit great evil. And at best, all it can do is produce self-righteousness. And when you became a Christian, you were given this pure nature. But that started a civil war within us. And Paul explains to us in Romans 7, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, I do." So the first part of the sermon today is going to be looking at the difference between the two natures and how to know which nature you're operating in. The second part of the message focuses on what Paul said. We were not meant to live this way. We were meant to crucify the flesh and walk in the Spirit. So the second part of the message is about getting rid of the oil, the contaminated nature, and walking in the new nature, in the nature that God intended for us to walk in. So we're going to read today's scripture, Galatians 5, 16 to 25. And apologies, I'm speaking from the Amplified Bible because I love it. And I wonder if Raymond can read it for us.
So Galatians 5, 16 to 25. "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, to be controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you'll be certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but you are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, carousing and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. And if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit."
Meaty topic. So we're going to explore the two natures right now, as Paul has explained to us. And first, we're going to take a look at the flesh. And I want to read you a quote from a scripture, a quote from a colleague of mine who opened my eyes. He's an anointed preacher, an expounder of the word. And this is what he said to me: "The creator of the universe, the sovereign God, considers our sinful nature and sin to be so horrendous and so grotesque that the only possible cure is the sacrificial death of his son. It's a pretty cool, pretty radical solution, but our flesh has been condemned. And I used to think of my flesh as, oh, it's not that bad, or I only do little sins, or I'm a good person. But I didn't see the seriousness of my sinful nature, that I actually have the capacity to do great evil. And at best, I've the capacity to do self-righteousness, which is filthy rags in God's sight. And the Bible paints a pretty ugly picture of our sinful nature. And if you can imagine in a court, a judge reading out a conviction sheet, I'm going to read out the conviction sheet in the Bible of what our sinful nature is. Well, this is what the Bible says. I did have a slide up there. Our flesh has no good thing in it, and it doesn't have the capacity to obey God or do what he wants. Romans 7, 8 to 19. Your flesh is opposed to the Spirit, as we just read. And in Romans 8, 7, it's actually hostile to God. The mind of the flesh is death. It is corrupted and counted condemned by God, like a building, a dilapidated building. It's not suitable anymore for us to live in. Anything we do from this nature, good or bad, is sinful, and it's filthy rags in his sight and will be burnt up. And we have to understand, Brad said this last week, our flesh, we can do good. We can do good things. But if it's Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the flesh can do good works, but if it's from that sinful nature, it's not good in God's sight. Living in the flesh brings us into bondage to sin and the law of sin and death. The flesh cannot please God and will never be acceptable to him. God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap ruin, decay, and destruction. And you can be a Christian but live in the flesh. And Paul called those Christians carnal Christians and says that they, if you're operating in this nature, you will never come to maturity and live as the way God intended to live. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, excuse me, you got a really bad rap sheet. All right, turn to them again and say, yet he loves you so dearly. You're washed clean in Christ. So I hope you can see very briefly the way God sees our flesh nature, not our spirit nature, our flesh. It's of no use to us, and it does bring chains, not freedom. And God's solution is that it be crucified. We crucify the flesh. I'm stealing an analogy out of this book called My Sheep Hear My Voice from Joseph Hedgecock. And he compares two natures, the two natures within us, using an analogy of a tree. And we read in verse 19 to 21 today that the fruit on this tree, the fruits of the flesh, immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, keeps going. The list keeps going. But there's also other areas in the Bible that talk about what fruits come from our sinful nature. And these are religious works, good works, legalism, lying, self-righteousness, greed, rebellion, spiritual apathy, and ways that seem right. And you may not think these things are in your life, but if you're in the sinful nature, they are manifesting. Brad mentioned it last week. God sees the fullness of your heart. If thoughts of these things are in your heart or your mind, you've committed them. And so God sees in fullness. But Joseph says in this book, as we move from the fruit to the tree trunk, we see in the inherent selfishness of the flesh, which is rooted in pride. Pride puts the carnal nature on the throne. You decide what you will do and how you direct your life instead of God. Pride is often identified as an outward appearance of arrogance or haughtiness. But these are just fruits. The root of pride is you choosing to be Lord of your life and calling the shots without God. Pride first began when the devil attempted to overthrow God as he wanted to call the shots instead of the Lord. That's what Joseph says. But when we live in pride, we're calling the shots. And we're actually committing the same sin the devil committed. We're exalting ourselves above God's rule and reign in our own hearts. And the Lord gave me a picture of this once, that I'm actually pulling God off the throne of my heart. I didn't realize I was doing this. I was pulling him off the throne and usurping my rule above his, living the way I wanted. But this is why God wants us to crucify the flesh, because our sinful nature is always seeking control. And if you continue in this way, we won't experience freedom the way God intended, and we certainly won't grow spiritually. So looking at the fruit and works of the Spirit now, this is the fruit and works of the Spirit. We read in verse 22 and 23 of Galatians that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What freedom. What freedom this is to have these fruits coming out in your life on a day-to-day basis. And they can't be manufactured either. They come from abiding in the presence of God and His character rubbing off on our character. And the Bible says some other things that are other fruits that are produced by abiding in the Spirit are obedience, submission, wisdom, compassion, giving, preferring others, contentment, thankfulness, patience, godliness, holiness, purity, and righteousness. As we go down from these fruits, the tree trunk is selfishness, and it's rooted in pride. Rooted in humility, sorry. And humility is when Jesus is Lord. This means he's in charge totally, literally and functionally in our lives, not just in theory calling him Lord, but we go on living our own lives. And Jesus showed us what true humility is. I'm not going to read this now, but John 5:30, Jesus explains how he walked with the Father, and this is true humility. He says, he could do nothing of himself. He didn't seek or consult his own will. He had no desire to do what was pleasing to himself, his own aims or his own purposes, but only what pleased the Father. That is humility. You see, with both trees representing our flesh and the new nature, the root of which nature you're in is determined by who's in charge and in control of your life. And if you're Lord, you're operating in the flesh. And if Jesus is Lord, you're operating in the new nature. And this was the agreement at salvation, that we were called to surrender. We agreed to surrender and place our whole existence around pleasing Jesus alone. So how do I know which nature I'm operating in? You can see there in your soul, if you're in the Spirit, the Bible says you'll have peace and joy. If you're in the flesh, you will experience dryness and discontent. In your mind, life and peace. In the flesh, you will experience death and stress. In your relationship with God in the Spirit, you will feel closeness to God and you will feel the grace flowing. If you're in the flesh, you'll feel separation and resistance because God resists the proud. When you sin in the Spirit, you will feel mercy. But if you're in the flesh, you feel condemnation. And there is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ in the Spirit. When pressure comes in the Spirit, good fruits will come out, like patience and forbearance when somebody does something to you, and the burden will feel easy, whereas in the flesh we'll experience bad fruits and anger and stuff coming out, and life will not feel easy, it will feel heavy. But if you want to be free, you have to start with an honest assessment before God, and you have to look at the fruits coming out of your life and ask the Lord, which one do I spend most of my week in? You know, when I first started learning to walk in the Spirit, I was only about 10%. But God was bringing me to 20% and 30%, and I'm still on that journey to get to the point where I don't spend any time in my old nature and it's dead. But which one you feed grows. And if you feed the Spirit, your spirit man will grow. If you feed the flesh, he will keep growing and we won't experience freedom. But it is a bit of a shock, but it's where you start. And I just ask you to take a look, living in the flesh and living in the Spirit on that slide there. Just ask yourself, what do I experience on a weekly basis? Do I experience the good fruits manifesting, life and peace and joy, closeness to God? Is that like 10% of your week? Or is it 100%? Maybe you're at 100. That's great. You can come and teach me. Maybe it's living in the flesh. Bad fruits manifesting, stress, and you feel separated or dry from God. We're now going to move into the second part of the sermon, which is about removing the flesh and learning how to walk in the Spirit, or how to purge the oil from the cup in that earlier demonstration. But if we go back to the tree analogy, to kill the flesh, we can't pick the fruit off the tree. We can't even rip the branches off. We can't even cut it down at the tree trunk because it's going to grow back. There's one solution to it, and that's to lay the axe to the root of the tree. You do this through repenting from your own lordship and running your own life and letting Jesus be the literal and functional Lord of your life. We can't just call him Lord. It has to get practical and it has to be in daily life. We have to let him have full control over what we do and don't do. He is totally worthy of ruling and reigning in our lives. But we read in Galatians 5:16, Paul said to us, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh." I just want to draw your attention to living habitually. We have to develop a habit of Jesus being Lord and being responsive to him and controlled by him in all areas of our lives, in the big things, small things, and in daily practice. It means, Lord, what do you want today? It means, what's your priority? What do I do in this work situation? What time do I wake up? What time do I go to bed? What things should I be eating? What exercises should I be doing? He has the right to rule and reign over everything in our lives. We're just servants to be about his pleasure anyway. And in Romans 12:1, in the Message, Paul says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 12:1 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you," Paul begs us, "in view of all the mercies of God," you have to read the whole of chapter 11 to understand this, the mercies of God, "to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and devoted and consecrated to him." You see, lordship starts with a decisive dedication. It's a presenting, a deliberate choice that we are dead and we now only live for him alone. It's a choice of holy separation of our of our bodies, our minds, of our spirits for use for him. So we've made the decision that Jesus is Lord. We've made that decisive dedication that what I'm going to do is exactly what you want, Lord. Now we have to pick up our cross. Luke 9:23. And he said to all, this is Jesus speaking, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. That's a strong message, isn't it? But it says, take up your cross daily. Jesus says this because running our lives and pleasing ourselves all the time is a bad habit. And habits require daily focus to break them. And we need to practice the habit of forgetting ourselves and our own interests, like Jesus said, and just be about pleasing him. I want to just share with you briefly before we move on, just some practical things. I know we're running out of time. Just want to share with you some practical things about what the Lord has taught me on in denying your flesh and walking in the Spirit. But I shared this in the last time I spoke, but I wake up every day and I say, Lord, what do you want? And I have a book. I've done this for 2 years. I can tell you everything the Lord has told me to do for the last 2 years. I do this because I'm denying myself. And I want to seek what he wants first before I start going, I want to do this and this and that. I don't want to do what I want to do. And he usually gives me 4 or 5 things to do. Some of them are really inconvenient. But this is the life of self-denial. Christianity without the cross is not Christianity at all. It's powerless. We have to do this. But as my day goes on, he's also taught me to monitor my peace. The peace of God rule and reign in your heart. And acting as umpire, the umpire blows the whistle in a game and tells you when something's in or out. And so I'm monitoring that all the time to know, am I in the spirit or am I in the flesh? But when I first started, I wasn't sensitive or responsive. I couldn't feel the spirit when I was moving out. And so the Lord told me, every 2 hours, I want you to set an alarm on your phone. And especially at work, I'd be getting caught up. I'd end up going from peace and that centered position of peace in Jesus to then going into stress. And it would only sometimes take 10 minutes at work and it would happen. So anyway, I set an alarm for every 2 hours to a check, just a checkpoint, just to go, do I still have peace? Am I still in your presence, God? And if I didn't, I would confess and come back in and write down why I fell out of the spirit, why I entered the flesh. And then later on that night, I'll sit with the Lord and go, okay, help me to process this hindrance, because the flesh is going to hinder you walking in the spirit. So you have to eliminate it at every step and every time it pops up. But the way we learn to abide in the spirit is we have to learn what gets us in the spirit. That's the blood of Christ and surrender. How we stay in the spirit, but what makes us get out of the spirit. And if you deal with those things that pull you out, you will very quickly, your percentage of time that you spend in the spirit will grow very quickly. And you'll have those good fruits manifesting, as Paul said. But we have to be diligent, because the old nature, it's a bit like fasting. If you've ever fasted, the first day is tough. You've declared war on the flesh. And he just wants a coffee and he wants a burger and all this stuff. But once you get through day one, it starts to die. Day two comes, you're winning over the flesh. Day three comes, it's now no longer bothering you. Day four comes, I've only ever done 5 days. You then forget about it all together, you have this power within you to overcome any protest that's coming out of your sinful nature, and you have victory. You're wearing the victor's crown in the spirit because he is victorious and we are in him. But this sounds hard. That is a hard scripture, Luke 9:23. But we have a helper who gives us the power. He knows. He knows we can't do it on our own. And my colleague, Brian Cox, that I work with, sums this up well. He says this: our sin and flesh are so deeply entrenched that only God's grace and power can deal with it. We simply don't have the capacity or the ability to do it. And I think back to the song, naked and desperate, I come to thee. Unto the cross I cleave. It's the Rock of Ages, the old hymn. We come naked and desperate. We don't possess this power. It is only by the Spirit. And we read in Romans 8:13, for if we live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. I need to draw your attention here to if through the power of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit and crucifying the flesh is not through human effort. It's done through surrender. It comes through surrender and receiving the power of God. Flesh can't kill flesh. I've tried that. It doesn't work. You can't commit suicide through crucifixion. You need someone to nail you to the cross. If by the Spirit means we're not helping God, we're just surrendering and obeying and saying, God, whatever you want, if that's what you want, that's what I want. That's an act of mortifying your flesh. You see, fire falls on surrender. And you can't experience resurrection power unless you've actually died, can you? You can't experience it. But God gives us resurrection power to overcome our flesh. Because Christianity without the cross, it's just powerless. We need the cross. We need the power of the Spirit empowering us, energizing us, creating in us the will and the energy to put to death the deeds of the flesh. I'm going to finish here now with the goal and just the next slide. Thanks, Jesse. It's always important to know where you're going and so that you can focus. And in Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified, Paul says to us, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, this is our goal and our motivation. Like Paul says, I died, and it's now only Christ who lives in me. This life, how he lives, is now done through adhering to the Spirit, his directions, and relying on him in everything. And then he says, it's not done for love. It's not, I think Chris said, it's not do more, try harder. It's not done for love. You are loved unconditionally. We're doing it as an expression of love. And Paul said, because he loved me and gave himself for me. We can't love unless God first loves us. And it's impossible to do this without God's love motivating you and flowing through you. So I'll finish there, but I hope today has been helpful. There's a quote from Watchman Nee. The blood deals with the sin. The cross deals with who we are, sinners. So what we're going to do now in closing, we're going to sing a song together. It's called I Surrender by Hillsong. We surrender ourselves because we can see true freedom comes from surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And it's the key to freedom is walking in the Spirit with Him and abiding with Him. As we sing this song, I just want to open a place for prayer. If you want to come down for prayer, there'll be some of us here praying for you. But I believe the Father wants to touch His children today. He wants to empower us to do that only what He can do. So I ask, as we're singing, if you want to come down to catch the fire again so you can burn brighter for Jesus, or if you just need a fresh flow of God's unconditional love, or you need power to overcome some stronghold that you're going through, some struggle, if you need resurrection power, I believe that the Lord wants to touch you and show you His goodness and faithfulness. Please come down. If you're hungry for God, come down and let us pray for you. God does want to give us good things today. Amen. Yeah, please stand and we'll sing this song. And if some of the leadership team can come out the front and we will pray for anyone who comes. Thank you.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all, and find me here, Lord, as You draw me near. I'm desperate for You, I'm desperate for You. Thank you.
Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy of our surrender. We welcome you. I'm just going to ask that that gets played again, and we're just going to open up this place for people to just be with God in their journey. Continue to pray. Continue to have that opportunity to just say, God, have your way in me.